This is the Clinical Pharmacology Podcast with Nathan Tuescher, where I discuss clinical pharmacology and pharmacometrics topics from the perspective of drug development scientists. Hi, everyone. Today I'm going to talk about a new and exciting area of drug development called cell therapy. Cell therapy is also called CAR T cell therapy. CAR T is a specific type of cell therapy, and it was the first type to gain approval by the FDA. However, there are other types of cell therapy that are being developed today. As of today, the US FDA has approved 6 different CAR T cell therapy products. They are Kymriah, Yescarta, Tecartus, Breyanzi, Abecma, and Carvykti. No apologies for mispronunciations. These are brand names in the United States. And they're a collection of a lot of consonants and very few vowels. The cell therapies represent a dynamic new way to combat cancer, and they create new challenges for clinical pharmacology. In today's episode, I'll give a description of what cell therapy is, describe some unique characteristics of standard clinical pharmacology ideas, and discuss a few challenges you may encounter. This is an entirely new area of research, so there's bound to be an evolution on the recommendations and solutions for cell therapy. I believe it is an exciting area, and it'll create opportunities for new analysis methodologies to emerge in the future. Cell therapy at the most basic level involves harvesting cells from a patient, converting those cells into cancer-fighting machines, and then administering the modified cells back to the patient. The show notes includes a link to an image from the cancer.gov website that illustrates CAR T cell therapy. Take a look at that image during my explanation for some additional details and context. First, blood is taken from a patient and the T cells are isolated. The second step is to insert a gene for the chimeric antigen receptor, or CAR, into the T cells. After gene insertion, the T cells begin to express the CAR protein on the cell surface. The third step is to grow more of the modified T cells in the laboratory. The fourth step is to infuse these modified T cells back into the patient. The fifth step is the pharmacologic action of the CAR T cells, which bind to cancer cells and recruit other cells from the immune system to destroy the cancer cells. I'm sure that you have a lot of questions about how these work and what potential challenges exist. So I'll start to work through a few of those now. First, some definitions or explanations. T cells are a type of white blood cell called a lymphocyte, and they play an important role in the immune system. There are various subtypes of T cells, but essentially they detect foreign proteins in the body and then activate processes to destroy those proteins. For example, they can recognize foreign proteins on viruses or bacteria. Then they begin to express receptors that bind to those foreign proteins. And finally, they recruit other cells to destroy the cells associated with those foreign proteins. The chimeric antigen receptor, or CAR, is a method of activating T cells to target a specific protein that we select. Currently approved CAR T cell therapies target the CD19 or BCMA antigens. Each of these is expressed in specific blood cancers. Thus, the modified T cells are designed to target proteins that are predominantly expressed by cancer cells. Then these modified T cells recruit other immune system cells to destroy the cancer cells. I think it's pretty clever. Right now, all CAR T cell therapies are autologous, meaning the patient donates their own T cells, which are modified and re-injected back into the same patient. This avoids many immune-related rejection issues. We know from transplantation work that the immune system will recognize cells from other individuals and attack them. That's why organ transplant recipients are required to take immunosuppressants to avoid rejection of the newly transplanted organ. There are efforts to develop allogenic CAR T cell therapies. These would be cells that are harvested from donors or umbilical cord blood that could be used as off-the-shelf sources for T cells for other patients. While work is ongoing in this area, I am not aware of an approved allogenic CAR T cell therapy yet. All current CAR T-cell therapies are associated with blood cancers. Efforts are ongoing to treat solid tumors, but there are challenges with antigenic targets and the tumor microenvironment. First, it has been difficult to identify antigens on the surface of solid tumors that are not on the surface of healthy cells. Without specificity for only the solid tumor cells, this therapy would result in indiscriminate damage to both healthy and cancerous cells. Also, solid tumors can often be different between patients. Thus, an antigen target in one patient may be different than in another patient. This complicates the development of specific CAR for a broad range of patients. Second is the environment around solid tumor cells. In the blood, the tumor cells are circulating in the bloodstream, so there's free access for the CAR T cells with their targets. With solid tumors, there are more barriers like interstitial fluid, cell walls, and more that prevent the T cells from reaching the desired target. Many companies are working on solutions to these problems, and a number of innovative strategies such as T cell receptor T cells, which can recognize oncogenic antigens inside of tumor cells. This approach has shown promise in melanoma and sarcoma, and more testing is ongoing at multiple companies. With that overview, let's discuss some of the unique challenges with cell therapies from a clinical pharmacology perspective. First, clinical pharmacology has been based around the concept of administering an exogenous drug into the body and then following the absorption, distribution, metabolism, and excretion. Cell therapies have an entirely different life cycle that isn't contemplated by our existing clin-pharm structures. Administration of modified endogenous cells is an entirely different approach. While we have ways to track the modified T cells, their behavior does not follow standard drugs. After administration, there's usually an initial drop in the amount of modified T cells, followed by a period where the body starts producing more T cells. This is called expansion, where the number of modified T cells actually increases. Then eventually the number of modified T cells decrease until they are below the limit of quantitation. Our standard PK modeling tools are not appropriate to handle drugs that make more of themselves. So we have to come up with some new ways to model the initial decline, expansion phase, and then eventual terminal decline. Second, many of our ideas about drug interactions are irrelevant for cell therapies. Metabolic enzymes such as cytochrome P450 or glucuronides are really not relevant for T cell elimination. Transporter-based interactions are also irrelevant. Things like liver clearance and renal elimination are concepts that don't mean much to cell therapies. Third, quantitation of the modified T cells is challenging. In our standard small molecule drug development paradigm, even large molecules like antibodies, we measure the amount of drug in a fluid such as a plasma or blood. We calculate the amount per milliliter of fluid, and then we can relate the amount in that sample to the total amount in the body using a parameter called volume of distribution. However, with cell therapies, what we measure is the amount of modified DNA in a given sample, or the proportion of cells in a sample that exhibit the target antigen receptor. But those numbers are dependent upon how many cells are in a sample. If you have a lower number of lymphocytes, the DNA content will be lower. So you could have low DNA content, but a high proportion of the cells are modified. During expansion, you could have high DNA content and a high proportion of cells that are modified. Later, you may have high DNA content, but low proportion of cells that are modified. And finally, as the modified T cells are eliminated, you'll have low DNA content and a low proportion of cells that are modified. In essence, it's difficult to know what is the total amount of modified T cells in the body at any given time. And that amount can be impacted by the body's immune processes where T cells are replicated. With all these complications, let's discuss some initial recommendations. The first suggestion is to evaluate efficacy using a dose response approach. Use the number of administered cells as the dose, then calculate the dose response. This is an imperfect solution, but it does standardize on something that can be controlled during clinical development. The reason it is imperfect is because different individuals may respond differently to the modified T cells. Some subjects may have a large expansion phase, while others have little or no expansion. You can use the area under the curve as a surrogate for total exposure, but I would be cautious to rely on that alone because AUC is dependent both on the dose and how the individual's immune system handles modified T cells and the normal lymphocyte levels in that individual. The second suggestion is related to modeling of modified T cells. It can be done using empirical models that start with decline, followed by growth, and then decline again. These empirical models have been shown to adequately characterize the changes in T cells that are observed with these CAR T cell therapies. However, it is unclear how predictive these models are for future patients. The expansion phase and how it differs between individual subjects is the biggest challenge for these models. Without a biological understanding of what causes expansion, how much expansion an individual will experience, and what stops the expansion process, the models will likely lack predictive power to be very useful. Thus, although these models are being developed, I don't see them being useful for predictive purposes in many cases right now. The third suggestion is to be flexible in your thinking. Really think about what you're doing as a clinical pharmacologist and design experiments and analyses to answer those key questions. Ultimately, your role is to define the therapeutic window for patients, meaning levels where you see adequate efficacy and you don't see damaging side effects. You also need to explore the demographic and laboratory factors that impact the therapeutic window for individual patients. Does body size, disease state, or other factors impact the dose you need to administer? And finally, what is the best dose to give to patients or to give to a patient that gives the greatest chance of success? The area of cell therapy is an exciting new frontier in drug development. I remember when the first antibodies were being developed as therapeutics and we had to rethink many aspects of clinical pharmacology. I believe that cell therapy is the same way. Let's rethink how we do clinical pharmacology to support development programs of these new cell therapy treatments. Let's generate the best evidence we can find to help physicians understand how to use these novel treatments to fight cancers and other diseases. For more information, please connect with me on LinkedIn, send me an email to nathan@tushersolutions.com, or sign up for my newsletter at tushersolutions.com/newsletter. The newsletter is a copy of the show notes sent to your email each time an episode is released. Also, please subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to the show. Thank you.